Now, the voices of Bronco Athletics, Bob Beeler and Chris Lewis on Sports Radio 93.1 FM and 1350 AM, The Ticket.
Special day at Taco Bell Arena. Chandler Hutchison will be taking the floor for his final home game as a Boise State Bronco. I've announced for three different colleges, total of 32 years. I've had three players in that time have cup of coffees in the NBA, two at UMass and James Webb III now playing for the Brooklyn Nets. I have had one of the three guys, Stefan Lazmi from UMass, that was drafted in the second round by the Golden State Warriors. I've never called the games of anybody taken in the first round of the NBA. Watching Chandler Hutchison these last 4 years has been a privilege. It's been interesting watching him develop because I certainly did not see an NBA player in his first two seasons with the Broncos. He was a guy that came off the bench. You could see that he had some talent, that he had some potential to get better, but he averaged 3 points as a freshman and 6.8 points as a sophomore. Last year was the year he totally blossomed. We'll be hearing from Chandler in about 10 minutes. And, Chris, this is a special player. People have not seen him live and in person. They owe it to themselves to go out tomorrow.
Yeah, it's definitely a unique Boise State career. You're not going to have too many basketball players here, you know, develop into first-round draft picks. Now, you know, on the flip side, with me, I went to Syracuse, so I was fortunate enough to see guys who came in thinking that they were NBA players, and some of them turned into being NBA players after 1 year in college, and some of them ended up playing themselves out of the NBA conversation because of various situations that happened with them at Syracuse. But very rarely there did you get somebody who didn't come in as a NBA-type prospect and then develop themselves into a top 20 draft pick. Like, that's the unique thing about it. It's not that, you know, Chandler Hutchison was some, you know, McDonald's All-American who came in and we all knew, okay, NBA future. I mean, he was the most highly touted recruit, I think, in Boise State history when he came in. But, like, for example, Malik Pope, and we've had this example with San Diego State, he came in as somebody who you thought could be a lottery pick, and he played himself kind of out of being a first-round pick, while Chandler Hutchison has developed himself into an NBA draft prospect, which I think is something that is a pretty unique thing. And now I've heard on the promo that played just before our start of our show how this is Chandler Hutchison Day on Idaho Sports Talk, and of course we'll have Chandler Hutchison on the show coming up in about 10 minutes. And I saw the poll question on our Twitter page at KTIK 93.1 FM about Chandler Hutchison, whether he's the best player in Boise State basketball history. I don't think it's a simple conversation like that. I don't think it is an easy conversation. It's definitely multi-layered to determine whether you think Chandler Hutchison is the best player in Boise State history. Like, I'm struggling to contextualize where exactly, if you want to rank or stack them over the last 5 to 6 years since I've been in Boise. Like, there's other really productive players that have been a member of the Boise State Broncos. And I don't want to take anything away from Chandler Hutchison because, hey, this is his day and he's going to be celebrating and whatnot. But I think his legacy is complicated because it's clear that we are evaluating his resume or his legacy right now based on what we think is to come. Right? Like, for all the other guys in senior day, you typically look back and highlight their accomplishments and where they rank in school history and all they did while wearing the jersey of the college. But the way we're looking at Chandler and evaluating him is almost already attaching an NBA career with it. And that's kind of odd.
Well, I think of the two guys that when I think of, you know, who are some of the best players, and in the time that you've been here to see, I've been here a little bit longer than you have, but I've been here 10 years. You've been here about, what, five, Chris?
Mm-mm.
So you haven't been here for the entire run of Leon Rice, but you've been here through a good percentage of it. The two guys that I would look at are Derek Marks and Anthony Drimmick. Both guys came in much more polished as freshmen. They were able to get into the starting lineup, and maybe because the team got better when those guys came here that it was harder for a Chandler Hutchison to get into the starting lineup. Maybe if he were older and he were here in front of Marks and Drimmick in the early part of the Leon Rice time when the teams weren't quite as good, maybe he would have gotten himself into the starting lineup and his numbers would have been better. But for Derek Marks, he was a player that I thought got better, much like Chandler Hutchison, as his career went along. Anthony Drimmick, I thought, was a guy whose career was totally cut short by injuries. He missed the season. I thought his best season was his sophomore year in 2013 when he averaged 18 points and shot nearly 40% from three. But then injuries took his toll in 14, missed all but, I think, seven games in 15 and had a pretty injury-plagued 16. So I think Anthony Drimmick, because of injuries, his career kind of, unfortunately, I think maybe turned a little bit south as the time went on that he was played. Derek Marks, 19.5 points as a senior, had almost 100 assists, shot 44% that year in his senior year. And again, he was a guy whose career, you know, we saw play basically half season as a starter as a freshman, all season as a starter as a sophomore, a junior, and a senior. But at his position, had trouble. He wasn't somebody that was really thought of as an NBA talent. He's had a good, you know, pro career overseas, but I think that Chandler Hutchison, I think you're right. I think people have seen this guy come in, play a little bit as a freshman, a little more as a sophomore, really blossom, come into his own last year as a junior, and then just take the senior year by storm. And I think people want to ride the wave. They want to ride the wave with Chandler on into the NBA.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, his NBA career could easily be, like, up there, you know, Chris Childs, of course, but, like, his NBA career of modern, recent players can certainly be up there with, you know, it could pass James Webb within a year of playing in the NBA if he's a first-round draft pick. But, like, I can't say that Chandler Hutchison's career definitively was a better Boise State career than Anthony Drimmick. Like, I don't want, like, while we honor Chandler Hutchison, like, I don't want to disparage some of the guys who came before him and just automatically vault Chandler into an air and a tier that is above some of the guys before him. Like, Anthony Drimmick, for example, finished his career with 1,942 points. Like, that's insane. That's ridiculous. Chandler Hutchison's going to be lucky to get to 1,550. I mean, if he gets a couple more games and a run in a postseason.
Yeah, he's sitting at 1,400. Maybe, I mean, he may not get to 1,500 if they don't play many games in the postseason.
Exactly. And that's like Anthony Drimmick. That's almost like a pretty solid season ahead of him. And now you could say, well, all right, maybe Drimmick played more because, again, not only was he a good scorer, but he played a lot here because he got the extra year because of the injuries. But there's also another factor of what could have been if he wasn't hurt as much. But I can't definitively say that Chandler Hutchison's career was better than a guy who scored 1,900 points for Boise State. Same with Marks in the individual season. Like, I can't, like, Chandler Hutchison's senior year has been great. I can't say it's been significantly better or even better at all than Derek Marks's senior year, where you brought up the numbers, 19.5 points per game. Not only that, shot about 50%, shot 44% from deep, was the Mountain West Player of the Year, and on a team that, you know, came in first place in the Mountain West regular season. That was an awesome year, and he hit some clutch shots just like Chandler Hutchison hit some clutch shots, led some comebacks just like Chandler Hutchison led some comebacks. So to automatically say that Hutchison's season was significantly better than Marks is really discrediting what Chandler did, or what Derek Marks did. And Chandler would probably be the first to say that, getting a chance to see that one up close and personal, that Derek Marks' senior year was something to behold and witness. So even career-wise, Marks put up 1,900 points too. Chandler Hutchison not going to approach that. So we are evaluating somebody's Boise State legacy based on something that they didn't do at Boise State because we think Chandler Hutchison is going to be a top 20 NBA pick, and we hope he's going to have a successful NBA career.
But, you know, discussing who's the best player, and even in the just the Coach Rice era or at Boise State, but especially the Coach Rice era, I'm smiling, Chris, because we have people to discuss. That shows you with the number of 20-win seasons, 7 out of 8 for Coach Rice, you know, the top three finishes for the last four seasons in the Mountain West. This team has been consistently good, has had consistently good players that have been fun to watch. So I think it's great for the program that it's not just that Chandler Hutchison is the beat-all, end-all best player we've ever had, that there are some other people in this program that deserve to be in the discussion over, you know, who had the best season. Chandler, could be Marks, could be somebody, you know, in the past. Best season, best career. Who had the best career? Was it Derek Marks? Was it Anthony Drimmick? Was it, you know, one of the players past that, you know, on the poll for, you know, KTIK, the Twitter poll? So I like the fact that we're talking about a lot of good players in a short amount of time, and that's why Boise State basketball has mattered.
Exactly. And, like, we even mentioned James Webb. Like, that's another guy who, like, want to talk about all conference caliber seasons, and he's had that too. So, yeah, that's the fun part is maybe we shouldn't look at it as, you know, just a Chandler discussion about, okay, where is he stacked amongst players in the 80s? It's like this run of the last 4 years of seeing some of the better players in this conference and seeing players that are near the top of the list when it comes to Boise State school honors of points, of double-doubles, of things along those lines. So it's been a good run. I just hope it continues, right? Who's behind Chandler could be the next guy who's a player of the year caliber player.
Well, let me throw something out that nobody has mentioned, at least not when you – here, you know, the legacy of Chandler. If Chandler is able to lead Boise State to a Mountain West tournament championship, that's something they haven't done since the 2007-2008 season when they won a championship and they were back in the WAC at the time. If Chandler is able to be the MVP of the Mountain West tournament and basically put this team on his back and get Boise State to the NCAA tournament through qualifying as a tournament winner, to me, that will really cement the legacy of especially the senior season.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. That would be almost a check made over the Derek Marks season because while Marks led up to the regular season title, that squad bowed out to Wyoming in the Mountain West tournament. So if Chandler Hutchison can put up, what, average 25 a game in a three-game stretch or something like that, that'd be
pretty fun. Do you think he's going to – I kind of think he's going to have to do that for Boise State to advance, to win the tournament. I think he's going to have to average somewhere between – 22 and 25 points a game for Boise State to do it.
Yeah, he's going to need some help, though. I think it's more. I think you know what you're going to get from Chandler. I'm just more concerned about other places more than I am him.
I agree.
He's going to get his numbers. It depends how efficient it is, but you also are going to need a secondary playmaker.
You're going to probably need a couple other people that have, you know, I think the guys that have to have big games, you got to get something out of Hobbs, you got to get something out of Jessup. You know, I think Sengfelder Williams has been pretty much what you see is what you get. In other words, you can expect what you want out of him. But you're right. They're going to need other people to help. But I think they're going to need games like the numbers that he had against Colorado State, 27 points, where he did it on 10 of 18 shooting. So that's the kind of performance I think they need. But I think that is where you start with if you want to win the Mountain West Tournament. You can read more on Chandler Hutchison at Mike Prater's column at The Opinionator at KTIK.com. He's got some good stuff. You want to check that out. Tickets going to be in Vegas, the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino for the Mountain West Basketball Tournament. Idaho Sports Talk will be live Wednesday through Friday next week from noon to 5 Pacific time at the Goose Island Pub. It's a top 20 Vegas sports bar. Book your room at KTIK.com for a special package rate and attend Idaho Sports Talk Thursday at 4. That's 4 Pacific to win a 3-day, 2-night stay. King Berrios and Bow Investment Group will present. Caves and Prater and Chris and I and Domino's will deliver us live from the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Vegas next Wednesday through Friday. Up next, we've got Chandler Hutchison right here. We'll go one-on-one with him about his career at Boise State. We'll ask him when he thought he was going to be an NBA player. That's coming up next when we return on Idaho Sports Talk on Sports Radio The Ticket. Tomorrow at 5 o'clock, your last chance to see Chandler Hutchison live at Taco Bell Arena. Right now, he's ninth on the all-time list in scoring at Boise State, seventh in rebounds. But if you go tomorrow and watch a Boise State win over Wyoming, he will tie Mikey Thompson as the all-time winningest player in Boise State history with win number 87. Chandler joins us now with Chris and myself here on Idaho Sports Talk on Sports Radio The Ticket. Chandler, it's your final home game. What kind of emotions will you have when you come out for introductions with your family, and what will you be thinking as you get on the court for the final time at Taco Bell Arena?
You know, it's an exciting thing, kind of, you know, but there's also those feelings there where, you know, I've grown up a lot here and, you know, been through the struggles and the success of everything has really come through here. So, you know, it's going to be an exciting feeling, but also sentimental, just knowing kind of what I'm moving on from and just the people here that have had my back and something that's been able to propel me to, you know, get me ready for the next level and things like that. So, I don't know. There'll be a lot of mixed emotions, but, you know, excitement and you know, it'll be memorable nonetheless.
Chandler, you said you did a lot of growing. Not as a basketball player. I want to know as a person, what is the biggest difference between you now and you as a freshman?
Just the maturity, understanding the different responsibilities you have, you know, because really here, I mean, you're one step under a, you know, professional. So everything you do, really, you've got to carry yourself that way. And being able, or going from, you know, normally things being taken care of by your parents to having to have responsibility for really every decision you make and understanding the weight that that holds and also the, I mean, what you can do if you make the right decisions and how it can propel you. So just having to mature and understand that and realizing the effect that you can have on other people and just, you know, getting used to having that role of being that person.
We're visiting with Chandler Hutchison. You're listening to Idaho Sports Talk with Bob and Chris on Sports Radio The Ticket. Chandler, the first day you stepped on the Boise State campus to start your career at Boise State, what were your expectations? And at what point during your Boise State career did you think, you know what, I might be able to play in the NBA?
I don't know. You can it's been you know, I don't even know if I can remember the first day I stepped on campus. It's so long. But really, I mean, I'm a completely different person. And just from being, you know, young and on your own and excited about everything that could come. But I don't know. You could call me crazy or, you know, arrogant. But I always felt like there was that possibility for me to reach the next level. I didn't know how I was going to get there. I didn't know what I'd have to go through or things like that, but you know, I always had in the back of my mind that there was a bigger plan for me, and I don't think it's just worked out in my favor. And also, I just became that person that was willing to do whatever it takes to get there, which took me, you know, it took me a couple of years. I wanted things to be given to me, and I thought that it was just going to happen, but I had to, you know, find a way to get it done.
Chandler Hutchison joining us here on Idaho Sports Talk on Sports Radio The Ticket. And now, you know, the college basketball culture today, if things don't go your way early, you typically see a lot of players decide to, hey, let me try a different college. Let me transfer. There's a lot more of that than there was 10, 15 years ago. So you mentioned maybe things didn't go your way to start, but why did you want to stick it out here?
Yeah, well, that was part of my realization that, for one, just the kind of position that I'm in. To be honest, with my underachieving, you know, first couple of years, I felt honestly, you know, there's a part of it that I was lucky to be playing where I'm at and lucky to be getting, you know, time on the floor with, you know, maybe not as hard as I should have been working and have been bought in. So there's that aspect of it, but also it was, you know, part of that maturity process of understanding that, you know, you can't blame anyone else for it. You gotta understand that it's going to be from how you respond and the things that you do. So that was part of that, and I stopped blaming, you know, and started taking that responsibility, and that was the first step for me into taking that next step.
Chandler, you explored the waters of maybe going pro last year after your junior year. You decided that that wasn't in your best interest, and you decided to come back. So what did you try to work on the most this year, and do you think coming back has been successful for you?
Well, the main thing that I, you know, just wanted to work on was to just continue to work on my shooting, continuing to get stronger, improving my skill, just working on different things and, you know, refining a bunch of skills. And, you know, yeah, at the time, the whole time, my perspective from, you know, testing the waters was to see where I could be a year from that time. That was always in the back of my mind. And so when it was too tempting to want to come back to see the improvement that I could make in another jump than to want to, you know, cut that short and focus on the next level. So that was enough for me to want to come back. And I'd say it definitely was successful because just, you know, having that year last year of really experiencing everything, of being that the guy that the team is going to, you know, look up to and, you know, just kind of give the keys. Having that year of experience just made it a lot, you know, easier and a lot more natural this year to know what to expect, and vice versa, the other guys to know what to expect with me, and then just continue to get better. So I'd say it's definitely been a success. I've been able to make even more jumps and, you know, just continue to improve.
Chandler Hutchison joining us, Boise State forward here on Idaho Sports Talk on Sports Radio. The Ticket. Now, you mentioned how your game has grown. Also, the crowd has seemingly grown at Taco Bell Arena this year. The attendance certainly up, and this being your last home game as a member of Boise State, at least on the schedule for this year. What will be your lasting impression of being in front of these fans with Boise State?
It'd probably just be, I don't know, just kind of how everything's played out, I'd say, and realizing, you know, seeing where it was my freshman year and comparing that to now what it's been for my senior year, and seeing that, you know, the growth that I've made, that lasting impression, and also just people that have seen me throughout this time, you know, the same people in the stands that have seen that same growth that I've experienced and, you know, been there for me and always seen something special in me. So, you know, just kind of a combination of all that and people that have contributed to my success as well, you know, throughout the program and things like that. So there's a bunch of different things, but definitely, you know, a lasting impression that I won't forget.
What's been the most fun thing about playing on this team?
Just the unselfishness of all our guys. You know, it's always been that way, no matter what year it's been, or whether this year or, you know, my earlier years. That's kind of always been the mindset that the guys have had that we've brought in here. You know, they want to see other guys do well. There's not a selfish soul that I've been around in this program for 4 years. You know, everyone wants to see other people succeed, and that's just been something that I've noticed and has been just as fun for me to be around.
Chandler, thanks so much for taking some time and visiting with us on the eve of your final game at Taco Bell Arena. Best of luck getting it done against Wyoming, and long stay in Las Vegas next week.
All right, thanks for having me.
And that was Chandler Hutchison with us on Idaho Sports Talk. His last home game is tomorrow. And, Chris, when I just think of all the great plays that he's made over the last several years here at Boise State, it has sure been a whole lot of fun watching him play.
Yeah. Do you have a play? You said of all the great plays.
I think the steal at New Mexico that led to a layup to put us ahead and cap that magical comeback at New Mexico for me.
Buzzer beater Colorado State for me.
Mm-hmm. And
each have our own.
Yeah. Probably something that I think makes him good is he's very versatile. I just look at his assists, his scoring, his ability to rebound. I mean, they haven't used him a whole lot at the point, but he could do that. He's a guy really that can play a lot of positions, and it's too bad you couldn't use him out there about three or four times at different positions that you think he's capable of playing.
We can't clone him. We can't clone Chandler Hutchison.
That was my idea. I think we'd have been a better team. A lot of people would have been a better team.
That would be a different type of approach to coaching, if you can start cloning players.
Coming up,
I don't know if the NCAA allows that yet.
I don't know. It's probably not on the books. And in the way the NCAA works, if it's not on the books, it's not illegal.
Hey, there you go.
Listen to Chris Lewis. Chris will be live tonight from Laramie at 6:30 on AM 1350. The Ticket, as Boise State goes for the regular season Mountain West title at Wyoming. And then Abe and I will have the men's game over on 670 KBOI tomorrow afternoon beginning at 4:30. Up next in the sports update, what Bronco will be competing for a shot on the U.S. national team this weekend. That's next on Sports Radio The Ticket.
Start the Ticket Sports Update with a reminder that Boise State basketball, men's and women's, will play their final games today and tomorrow. The women will be in action tonight. You can hear that game on 1350 AM, started at 6:30. They'll be playing for a chance to get the number one seed in the Mountain West Tournament with a win over Wyoming and at least a share of the Mountain West regular season title, depending on what happens with UNLV. Meanwhile, the Boise State men's basketball team will have their senior night tomorrow night in Taco Bell Arena against Wyoming. The men's team is already locked in as the two seed in the Mountain West Tournament.
Go ahead, Chris. What about the women's game tonight?
I'll take it. All right, the women's game. Wyoming's really good at home, especially the altitude and all that. They're 12-1 at the Arena Auditorium this year, and if they have their top player back, who didn't miss the last game because she was sick, they'll be a tough task for the Broncos. But they have had some pretty impressive road results and neutral site results over the last 3 years, including, of course, in the Mountain West Tournament. They seem like they play their biggest and best games in March, and they do pretty well in those. It's going to be fun. I know the team's hyped for it. They're really excited. They want to get this thing going. They don't care about no altitude, no 7,220 feet. They care about that 94 feet, meaning inside the lines, and getting ready to give all they have to Wyoming to make the Cowgirls have to earn the championship in their building. And Boise State looking to claim it themselves and get their first ever regular season title in the Mountain West.
And as far as on the men's side, it doesn't matter whether they win or lose as far as the tournament goes. Big one for Wyoming. They basically need to win to get a bye. And if they lose, they'll have to hope that San Diego State loses to be able to get that first round bye. I think it's going to be an entertaining game. It was the first time around when the Cowboys won 79-78 in overtime. It was a game where Boise State led by 16 in the first half. Wyoming had an awesome second half to tie the game and send it to OT. They've got a couple of players that are really, really big-time scorers. Justin James averages 19. Hayden Dalton averages 18. I look for a high-scoring game, both teams going up and down the floor. I want to see Boise State not only win the game against Wyoming, but get hitting on all cylinders, leave the regular season heading into the tournament on a high note.
Well, speaking of Mountain West basketball, it was reported earlier this week by Mark Ziegler of the San Diego Union-Tribune that the Mountain West had been reaching out to several schools, including Gonzaga, about the potential of them joining the Mountain West Conference. And today, Leon Rice talked about his thoughts on what would happen on Gonzaga potentially joining the Mountain West Conference as a basketball program.
The thing that I'm most pleased about is that, you know, Craig Thompson is being really aggressive and trying to make this, you know, an elite basketball league. You had schools like that and brands like that. Well, it's going to, you know, Gonzaga was in the national championship last year. And so it's going to lift all the boats. And, you know, we got other programs that are back on their way up. And all of a sudden you're going to look around and have one of the best basketball leagues, you know, not just in the West, but in the country. And, you know, that's what I appreciate about Craig. And, you know, the great thing about adding Mark to this league is he's that way too. He's a big thinker, and he wants to, you know, if he came to this league, he'd help us make it, like I said, one of the best leagues in the country.
What's your gut say about the move with Gonzaga BYU? Do you see it as being an actual possibility, or do you think it's just rumor and hearsay?
I think there's definitely a possibility, and, you know, I think if they can make it work for all the parties, then, you know, and we head in that direction. I think it's definitely has traction, and it's been something that's been talked about for a long time now.
Craig Thompson, the commissioner, is the smart man. He's been a commissioner for a long time. Chris, you don't leak the fact when somebody asks you the question, as Mark Ziegler said yesterday, that he called him up, asked him if it was something they're going to do or not do. You don't leak the fact, you don't let it know if you're not a ways down the pike where you got a pretty good chance of this thing happening, in my opinion.
So you think the leak is definitely coming from the Mountain West and not Gonzaga?
No. Well, I don't know where the leak originally came from, but Mark Ziegler, who was a guest on this show yesterday, tomorrow, said he called Craig Thompson up, and Craig Thompson went on the record and said, yes, they have, you know, had discussions about this very thing. So the league has said that this is something that's it's not like hearsay. It's true that this thing has happened, as far as at least gotten this far. But I don't think you confirm that you're doing it if you've just had maybe one little quick call and that's it.
Like, I understand why it benefits Gonzaga to have this out there, because now they can claim a little bit more of the conference money for schools making the NCAA tournament, and maybe get a better deal with the West Coast Conference if they want to go in that route and stay in the league. Like, I've always thought it made more sense, as BYU also came across in this discussion too. Like, I've always thought it made more sense for BYU football to join the Mountain West than it ever did for Gonzaga basketball to join the Mountain West. Like, there is a huge negative for BYU not being in a conference. Like, it is tangibly hurting them. Their schedules are overly tough, and they can't play for a New Year's Six spot unless they are one of the top five, six teams in the country. Like, that's a tangible reason why being in a conference would help BYU football. Gonzaga basketball is doing just fine. Like, right? Like, where is Gonzaga basketball hurting?
Well, they're not, but I think they're looking at what Xavier, what Creighton, what Butler, what some of those teams have done to elevate themselves going into higher leagues, and it's only helped them. Wichita State as well. So,
they're still not as good as Gonzaga.
Well, they're higher than Gonzaga this year, some of them. Xavier's better,
yeah,
so is Wichita State.
Gonzaga's coming off of a championship game appearance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Gonzaga's doing just fine. Like, they're a top four seed every single year at this point. They get guys internationally, and they now get transfers from other schools, and they have all the talent in the world, and they're getting deep in the tournament now. Like, they're not hurting at all to me. They don't need anything. It's just bonus for them. They're not in a position of need whatsoever.
Well, with the extra games now being put in by the Pac-12, the Big Ten, and some of the other ones, Mark Ziegler was telling us yesterday that Gonzaga is getting squeezed out on quite a few of their non-conference games.
All right, fair.
Home Boise State freshman volleyball player Kylie Lewis will be traveling to Colorado this weekend to participate in open tryouts for the U.S. National Women's Volleyball Team. Lewis is one of the seven players from the Mountain West that will be at the tryouts, and results will be announced at the end of March.
The headline that the Boise State Twitter came out with was Lewis is heading to that, and I had to tweet out to let everybody know that it wasn't me. They just used last names,
mm-hmm.
So I wanted to clarify for everybody that it wasn't me that was heading to qualify. Not me.
We're probably fortunate that she plays for the volleyball team and not you, right?
Hey, I played intramural volleyball my last year of high school, so I got skills. Okay, baby.
Well, the NFL Combine is underway. Former Bronco Leighton Vander Esch had his measurements and weights taken today. He came in at 6'4 and 2'8 and a weight of 256. That's according to Charles Robinson of Yahoo on Twitter. Cedric Wilson will start his testing day with the bench press, and he will have his on-field testing tomorrow, along with Vander Esch doing the bench press tomorrow.
So what was the height?
6'4 and 2'8.
Is the 2/8?
Of an inch.
Of an inch.
Yeah. I don't know why they didn't just make it 1/4, but that's what he put on Twitter. So I guess everything they do in eighths.
I've never heard something say in 2/8. You generally do 6'4 1/4, right?
Yeah, you didn't that you learn that in like third grade, consolidating fractions?
And
right?
Whatever happened about the rounding up or rounding down? He's 6'4". If he was 6'4",
well, no,
what?
They got to be precise. They got to be precise. Because if they're deciding between a 6'4 and a 6'4 and 2/8 player.
Oh, that'll be all the difference in the world.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to pick the 6'4 and 2/8 guy.
Well, we'll end the sports update with a little bit of a quick question here, Chris, before we get into the story. Did you watch the Cavaliers-Sixers game last night, Chris?
If I answer that question, it'll spoil a quick hit. But yeah, I watched it.
Okay, well, I don't want to spoil too much of your quick hit, but we'll just mention the fact that LeBron James sort of showed up James Harden with a quick little pass between his own teammates' legs to himself.
Oh, that was sick.
The game also featured a thrown basketball, Dario Saric, after he dunked in the final minutes, and it was without J.R. Smith, as Smith had been suspended one game because he threw a bowl of soup at Cavs assistant Damon Jones.
Threw a bowl of soup at somebody?
Yeah, he threw a bowl
of soup. Did he burn him? Was it that hot?
I haven't heard anything, so I don't think so.
I mean, there's so many unanswered questions. For example, where did he get this soup? Was it a Campbell's can of soup? Was it, like, provided by the team? Some people were saying, was it chili? Because some people consider chili a soup. Some people don't consider chili a soup, which goes to the whole is a hot dog a sandwich debate. could it have been a chowder? Was it a chowder of some sort? But then if it was a chowder, what kind of chowder can you get in Cleveland? So there are so many unanswered questions regarding this story.
I like your questions. I'll give you some answers. A hot dog is not a sandwich, in my opinion. Chili is not soup, in my opinion. What was the other one?
It's chowder. Is
could it well, be? Where do you get chowder in Cleveland?
I don't know. Maybe I don't know. Boston, the chowder would be white, and in New York, the chowder would be red.
Yeah, J.R. Smith, you too old to be throwing soup at people, though. Like, he's in his 30s.
Yeah.
Like, he's not a kid anymore. Like, he came in as a high school kid, I get it, and he had some growing up to do. But dude's like a 30-year-old man now. You can't be throwing soup at people when you're 30 years old. And now Twitter has gone nuts with this, of course, because now they have him throwing alley-oops instead of alley-oops. It's alley-soups. And he got Campbell's. Instead of him throwing a basketball up, it's him throwing a Campbell's can up and LeBron ducking at home because we can't have nice things.
Tournament time. You can get the best of both. Listen to March Madness all day on 1350 AM, The Ticket, and your favorite talk shows on 93.1 FM. Coming up in Quick Hits, we have a report that Chris was a bad dinner guest last night. We'll find out if that was true, and did he throw soup? That's next on Sports Radio, The Ticket.
Quick Hits with Bob and Chris. topic number one.
All right, Chris, reports out of Laramie that you were a bad dinner guest last night. Did you throw soup at anybody?
No soup. I did not throw any soup at anybody. I didn't order soup. I went with the salad instead. That's usually more of my go-to, unless I'm at Olive Garden. That's the one spot where I'll get the soup. But why was I a bad dinner guest? Well, is it rude to have your phone at the table? I'll ask Bob and what the rules are at his house for dinner. Like, it's probably bad manners to have your phone out, right?
Yes, it is. I've done it, but I usually get chastised for doing it sometimes.
Yeah, have my phone
if
out,
my mom and
watching.
Dad, when they were here, yes, that would have been a definite. With Teresa, it's a maybe.
Yeah, okay,
mom and so dad, it's a definite.
You're living on the edge for sure. Well, I had my phone out the whole time, was watching that Sixers game against the Cavs that we were talking about before, where J.R. Smith didn't play because he did, yes, throw soup at people. There was a lot of stuff that happened in that game, though. You had the LeBron James pull off, I think, one of the greatest dribble moves I think I've ever seen, where you go behind the back to split the double when they, you know, hedge the screen. You split it by putting the ball behind your back and between the legs of a teammate, and then you finish with the left hand on an and-one. Like, that was insane. I don't know how many other dribble moves are in that discussion. One of them might have been a couple of days ago when James Harden put Wes Johnson into the blender and then stared him down and then hit the three on him. So we've seen two moves in the last couple of days that have been off the charts. But the funniest things about this game were, you know, Sixers won it, but it seemed like LeBron wasn't too upset about the Sixers winning the game because he was out there smiling and laughing with Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, and those guys on social media after the game, talking and communicating a little bit. So it kind of felt like with the Sixers being one of the rumored teams that could get LeBron's interest this offseason in free agency, it kind of felt like one of those, not just a basketball game, but a recruiting visit.
If you were a Cavs fan, would you be upset at that? If that was Embiid doing what James was doing with another team, would you be upset?
I think if you're Cleveland, you just got to thank your lucky stars every day you have LeBron. Just like I thank the heavens and I thank Sam Hinkie every day that Joel Embiid plays a healthy basketball game.
Topic number two.
What three teams are playing the most important basketball games this weekend?
I have three teams that are in conference tournaments already. They have won more than 23 games this season, each of the three, and they won their league by three or more games. They are three teams that probably have to win their conference tournament to get to the NCAA tournament. So the criteria, win at least 23 games. Win your regular season league by three games or more. Vermont, Loyola of Chicago, and Bucknell. Those three teams have everything to play for this weekend and everything to lose. If you win your regular season by a game or your record's not quite that good, to me it's not a travesty when you lose your conference tournament. But when you win your conference by three games or more, have close to 25 wins. And if you lose one game in the conference tournament, your season's done as far as the NCAA is concerned.
And Vermont's had some really bad conference tournament luck. I know them for sure over the last couple of years because they've been a dominant team in their league. But I don't believe they've made the NCAA tournament any of those years, at least within the last couple, because they've been upset in their conference tournament. So, you know, hopefully Vermont doesn't suffer another hiccup because you think Vermont's in the middle of nowhere and you can't even point to that state on a map. They actually have a pretty intense basketball fan base. So if they get in, they'll be a dangerous squad because they have year after year 25-plus wins.
And the school I started at, Bucknell, has won two NCAA tournament games, knocking off Kansas one year and Arkansas another. And Loyola Chicago, we saw this year, they got run out of Taco Bell Arena, lost by 25. They won the Missouri Valley by four, and they're 25-5 right now.
Topic number three.
How do you know that LeVar Ball won? I'm sure he'll tell you, right?
Yeah, he'll always tell you. He's not shy. In fact, I was watching Inside the NBA yesterday, and they had the show from New York because Charles Barkley's hosting yesterday weekend, and they basically had Inside the NBA as a version of Saturday Night Live, and Kenan Thompson, who's been there forever, feel like he's done the same thing, sketch comedy for his entire life, but he was doing his LeVar Ball, and it was actually pretty good. But I didn't know LeVar Ball won. It's because Lonzo Ball yesterday in the Lakers, maybe their best game of the year, 131-113, and they beat the Miami Heat, and the Heat needed this game. They're in the middle of a playoff chase here. Lonzo Ball a factor in the Lakers' win, for sure. 8 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds. You know, that's not dominant numbers by any stretch, but it's a solid game. Luke Walton, after the game, saying, Lonzo Ball was the best player on the floor. That made me raise my eyebrow, and now we got all the talking head shows all day talking about how this game proves that Lonzo Ball is somebody who you can build a franchise around, and I'm like, 8, 7, and 6? Good game. But in this same game, Isaiah Thomas went for 29 points in 30 minutes, 11 of 20 shooting, 6 for 11 from beyond the three-point line. Julius Randle might have had one of his best games this season, 25.6 boards. He made all 9 of his free throws. So you had some pretty heavy hitters on the Lakers, and for you to say that, like, Lonzo Ball was the guy who was the best player on the court, he was good. He had a very good game. He has scored 29 points in 30 minutes like Isaiah Thomas did, so it's a little bit of a grand overstatement, and it wasn't even from LaVar Ball.
Topic number 4.
What seemed like a good idea at the time?
Steph Curry wanted to practice golf in his hotel room. He wanted to practice his golf swing. He took some clubs. Well, he tweeted out, when you feel like you're on the PGA Tour, so you got to get some swings going in the hotel room. Hashtag idiot. And he shows some broken stuff in the hotel room. So I don't know whether he used the ball or the club fell out of his hands. I'm sure he'll pay to make the hotel room whole again, but he felt stupid that whatever he did to practice golf resulted in the damage in the hotel room. Maybe he's not that good.
Except he's pretty good. There's evidence out there that says that he can actually golf. He's not one of these Charles Barkley types who, for some whatever reason, really likes golfing but just looks like he's terrible at it. Steph Curry has been in some of these charity events, and he's looked pretty good, even with some professional golfers. So I don't know what happened with him. Was he not paying attention to, like, a vase behind him? Did it slip out of his hands? Because that's happened to me before when I practiced. But, like, Steph Curry's beyond that. So I think it was a poor awareness of his surroundings. And for somebody who makes his living playing basketball in traffic with bodies around him, you would feel like he'd have a good idea of a sense of direction. But not really in his hotel room.
Quick Hits with Bob and Chris. On 93.1, The Ticket.
Chris, I wanted to get to one thing. The College Football Rules Committee is proposing a new rule for kickoffs. They want to change it that if the ball is kicked and it's short of the goal line, but between the 25-yard line and the goal line, you can call for a fair catch and the ball will get moved to the 25-yard line. They think it will make less kickoffs during the game and make the game safer. Original thought when I give you this rule, that anything inside the 25, if you fair catch it, you don't have to return it. The ball comes back to the 25.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't mind that. It's getting rid of the loophole of the shallow kick that's at the 3-yard line and then having to return it, and then you can pin them inside. I don't mind it.
I think it'll probably pass. They're doing a lot of things for safety, although it would take I guess you still had the choice. If you wanted to run it,
you could. Yeah, you have the choice. If you want to run it, you can, but you don't have to.
Up next, the former Boise State football player will be in a new spring league. We'll find out about that when we come back with hour number 2 of Bob and Chris on Idaho Sports Talk on Sports Radio The Ticket. Talked quite a bit this year about Leighton Vander Esch coming out early, and with the combines going on, he is going to possibly be a first-round pick in the NFL draft coming up in April. Also coming up in April, there are other ways you can catch the eyes of NFL teams. There will be a new spring league that will take place for 2 weekends in Austin, Texas, the 7th and the 14th. You can watch the 2 games, a doubleheader on the 7th, a doubleheader on the 14th, and take a look at some players that are trying to find their way into the NFL. There will be at least one Boise State player in those games. It is former Bronco kicker Tyler Rossa who joins us here on Idaho Sports Talk. So, Tyler, how are you doing, and how did you end up getting into this spring league so you have a chance at the NFL?
Hey, Bob. Appreciate you having me on the show. And I'm doing great right now, just getting ready for the spring league and trying to get all my ducks in a row right now and, really just grinding it out and, trying to make a name for myself. And I got involved with this spring league through my agent. You know, he kind of told me about it and what it could do for us and what it could represent for us. And so we threw out one of the register forms that they had for the website, and you know, immediately we heard back from the CEO, who you know personally invited me. He you know talked to me about it, and it seemed like a great idea, and I can't wait. And actually, I'm not the only Bronco that's going to do it. Mr. Marcus Henry will be attending the Spring League as well.
Interesting. So, what were you told about the format and the setup and everything that involves this league? And you guys said it was in Texas, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, what I've been told, is very slim from the real deal will be. They're going to have more announcements on it. But what I'm told it is there's four teams in this league, 140 guys, I believe, altogether, and it's going to be about a 2.5-week thing. You know, the first couple days we're going out there, everybody's coming together and everybody's practicing the same, learning schemes, going over different things in an NFL-type environment. And then from there, they'll be breaking us off into the four teams, kind of gelling together, figuring out who you are, how you're communicating with each other and really, trying to work in team environment. And that's when you get into the games aspect. That's where you get in the competitions, and it's all full live practices. There's pads going on, there's hitting, and then there's games as well, which will be at the Circuit of Americas in Austin, Texas.
Joining us on the phone is Tyler Rossa, former Boise State kicker. He will be participating in the Spring League. You can see it April 7th and 14th again on Turner Sports. Tyler, what is the practice for a kicker to try to catch on? How many normally come to either mini camp or camps, and like how do they compete with one another? I guess it would be a little bit different, wouldn't it, than some of the other positions where, I would think kicker would be an easy position to make a change if you wanted to. You don't have to have somebody, get in there and work as timing like Marcus Henry would do as a lineman, right?
Yeah, it's probably, if not the hardest position in the NFL to get into. I mean, you have 32 teams. There's only one kicker per team, and rarely do they have guys on the practice squad. And if they do, it's because their starter is either looking a little shaky, might have an injury that he's kind of battling through. So it's one of those things where you just got to consistently be going, always being ready, and just kind of trying to find your way into it. You got to, when you have your opportunity, you seriously have to take a full advantage of it. Otherwise, you're not getting another chance again. And, when I practice, I probably take, depending on what day, I'll take 60, probably would be, my median of what I'm doing per time. If I'm at my least, I'm doing 40, the most, probably around 100. And it's just whatever I'm working on that day. I'm just trying to find what my strengths are, what my weaknesses are, and really, just building on them and trying to be the complete package that the NFL is looking for.
Now, this Spring League, they call it a league, but this is, from what I understand, just four games and two games per team. And my question is, it kind of seems more like a camp than a league with it being that short of amount of time. Is that enough time for really anybody to showcase enough skills for, like, the NFL to be evaluating what's going on?
Definitely. I mean, you have the NFL Combine, which goes for, you're really showcasing 2 days. Now, this is a 3-week event where you're going out practicing every day. You have your two games. You really get to show what you can do in pads. I mean, you even have guys that are, guys that have been in the NFL that are trying to get back into the league, and they're trying to re-show what they can do. And with this 3 weeks, I think it all the more can show what I can do, because, you go to a kicking camp and, there's no live rush. There's no, timing that really needs to be involved. So all of a sudden, it kind of becomes like a home run derby. So when you have this home run derby, there's no pressure. I mean, you could have guys just launching balls where, it truly doesn't show what they can do in a game. And for me, I think this is where, it's a big plus for me, because I could show I can do it on and off the field.
We're visiting with Tyler Rossa, former Boise State kicker. In his Bronco career, made 34 out of 43 field goals, starting kicker for both the 15 and 16 seasons. Tyler, how are the guys divided up? Do you know what team you're going to be on? Are you going to go down there and kind of practice, and then they'll divide them up? What's the format going to be as far as when we actually get to the games?
Yeah, so that's the details that they are, finishing up right now, because again, there are select tryouts that they're doing. Just if there's anybody that fell through the loophole that they didn't, you know, see or they haven't figured out or is, you know, good enough for this league, they're waiting for all the trials to be done and everything. Then they will further discuss the format. They'll let the players know first, let them get prepared, and then they'll, you know, release it to the public.
Now, interesting with the timing of this, how it's kind of right sliding in before the NFL draft, and I'm sure a lot of these teams will be busy with their scouting and tuning up their big boards and whatnot. But for you personally, like, what would you consider a success for you? Would it be a certain percentage kicking, or would it be a certain amount of teams seeing you? Like, how would you gauge a successful three-week span for yourself down in Texas?
Successful 3 weeks for me would, you know, it would obviously be all 32 teams going out there, seeing what I can do at my best. You know, I want to go and show everybody what I can do with full pads on, live game, at my best. And then as a kicker, you know, you do, most people look at the percentages. You know, you have Adam Vinatieri, who, again, he was like one miss away this year from 90%, and, you know, he had a big bonus for it. And as a kicker, you look at the percentages. So I want to go in, and I want to try and be, you know, 88% or better, or 90% or better, because that shows that I can consistently do it. I will have a consistent ball while doing it, and it's one of the things where it's highly dependable. Once you get inside the 40, you're almost guaranteed points. So that's what I want to go in and do and prove.
When you look at what teams expect, what do you think they expect? You said go inside the 40. Do you think an NFL team wants to feel automatic inside 40, inside 45? I wouldn't think they'd think inside of 50 that they want somebody to be pretty much automatic. What do you think teams want?
I mean, any time that a team, when I say 40, I mean the 40-yard line. They want to get inside the 40-yard line. And they want to, you know, see points out of it, you know, 90% or better. They want to go in, and once they get inside it, they have plays where, you know, we can attack the end zone. We can plan on basically scoring, whether it's 6 points, 7 points, or 3 points. You know, automatically they're going to get some sort of points out of it. So they want to go in trusting a field goal kicker, and they want to, you know, kind of exploit what they could do with their play calling.
Tyler Rossa joining us, former Boise State kicker here on Idaho Sports Talk on Sports Radio The Ticket. I want to step away from this league for a second and kind of focus on this current Boise State team and the special teams, and specifically Joel Velasquez, because he had an interesting season last year when he was, you know, coming in expected to kind of handle two roles as both a punter and a kicker, and now he didn't really get the full-time opportunity to do both jobs. But as you being a former specialist, like, how unique and how difficult was the challenge for somebody like that last year as a young guy coming in and expected to kind of have that large of a responsibility?
Yeah, I mean, you know, no credit taken away from Joel or Hayden. I mean, Hayden went in, you know, busted his butt, and he went from somebody that, you know, probably wasn't dependable in the spring, and he worked his butt off in the summer, and he came out and proved that, you know, he's the guy that could be trusted in the fall, you know, and he did a great job. And for Joel, I mean, it's a hard, hard thing to do, trying to focus on both, because at the college level, you know, you have to be on it the whole time. Otherwise, you know, special teams will get exposed between punting, if, you know, your hang time, what your yardage is with it, and, you know, kicking, being consistent with it. And, you know, he's a young guy, young leg. He's got so much potential to him that, you know, I still expect great things from him. He's going to be just fine. He's got three more years to really show what he can do.
Tyler, we'll finish up. Yesterday, the schedule was announced, and as a former player, not too long removed, on the day the schedule is announced, what do the players look at, and what kind of strikes you when you see the schedule for the first time, knowing that's the schedule you're going to have to play?
I mean, we look at the schedule. I mean, we pretty much know what the schedule will be before it comes out, and there's not a whole lot that we do look at. It's just one game at a time. We look at the first game, where it's going to be, who we're playing against, what time, and what our first play is going to be. And that's all we really care about. And, you know, I'm excited for this season. I'm excited for them to go to Oklahoma State and really show what they can do and really show, you know, the college football world what Boise State can do. I think it's going to be exciting. I think it's going to be a great season for us. And, you know, especially team style of ball, I think it's going to be
even better.
Tyler, thanks so much for chatting. If you and Marcus hadn't been in the game, I doubt I would watch, but I will make a point right now. Best of luck to both of you guys, and I hope you get your chance to get into a camp this summer.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you, Bob.
And that is Tyler Ross, a former Boise State kicker, being in the spring league coming up. I agree with you, more like a development camp more than – to me, a league is like 8 or 10 games.
Yeah.
But still, great opportunity. And, I mean, there's some teams, I'm sure, out there that will be looking for a kicker.
Yeah, it's just so hard for there to be a developmental league or a developmental even camp for football. It just seems like we're always trying to find the answer of how do you get those fringe players, those fringe prospects to get the opportunity to show that they're NFL players, and maybe this will be the start of something.
Tickets going to be in Vegas next week at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino for the Mountain West Basketball Tournament. Idaho Sports Talk will broadcast live Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from noon to 5 Pacific at the Goose Island Pub. It's a top 20 Vegas sports bar. Book your room through KTIK.com for a special package rate. And then be sure to be there for Idaho Sports Talk's broadcast Thursday at 4 o'clock Pacific, specifically to win a 3-day, 2-night stay. King Berrios and Bow Investment Group will present Caves Prater, Bob, and Chris, and Domino's will deliver them live from the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Vegas next week, Wednesday through Friday. We're going to do the sports update a little bit early because we've got Gordy Presnell dropping by to talk about the championship game. That'll be coming up at 2:30. We'll find out how the Browns failed again. They seem to fail all the time. That's next on Sports Radio, The Ticket.
We'll start the Ticket Sports Update with a little bit of an update on what's coming up for Boise State basketball. The men will have their senior night tomorrow night in Taco Bell Arena against Wyoming. Broncos on the men's side have already locked up a 2 seed in the Mountain West Tournament. Meanwhile, on the women's side, the women play Wyoming tonight on the road. You can hear that call on 1350 AM starting at 6:30. With a win, the women would get the number 1 seed in the Mountain West Tournament and at least a share of the Mountain West regular season title, depending on what happens in UNLV's final game.
Be the first regular season title since they won the WAC in 2007-2008. Of course, 2 of the last 3 years they've won the tournament championship, so it would be adding to what they've been able to do. And also, like, on the ledger, you can get the 20 wins, which would be the 5th time with Coach Presnell. Right now, coming 19-9. And for Riley Lupfer, I think a win here would really strengthen the case for her to be the conference player of the year, which could be the first for Boise State since Michelle Schultz did it in 94-95, Boise State having a conference postseason player of the year. So there's a lot at stake. Now, it's a tough task on the road against Wyoming, who at home this year is 12-1, and you're playing 7,220 feet above sea level, what they call the Dome of Doom. That does draw a lot for women's hoops. So it's not going to be easy, but it would certainly be special if they can get the win.
We've got Gordy Presnell joining us in about 10 minutes. Chris, I want to ask Gordy a question, but I also want to ask you the same question and see whether your answers are the same or whether they differ. How does this game feel versus going into a championship game at the Mountain West Conference Tournament? How do you see it? Does it a different feel playing for a regular season championship than playing for the tournament championship?
I think with this, it's less of the, you know, when you get to a tournament setting, it's more hectic in terms of the amount of games in such a short amount of time. It almost feels like, you know, the amount of prep that you can do for each individual game is limited. In this format, it is just like every other game. It's a true road game, so there's, you know, that element of having to go to their building and winning it there. So I think that they're both intense. Mm-hmm. This will be intense in a way where the crowd is going to be against you. And I would hope from the Boise State side of things that it is pretty similar because they seem to do well in the situations where they have a championship on the line, because in the last 3 years they're 2-0 when it comes to Mountain West championship.
Do you think there's more urgency because the next one, if you're in the next one, it's for an NCAA bid, this is not?
No, I mean, I think for these players, it's almost like the regular season crown means so much because they put in that marathon work. You know, like they're out here in the summer putting in the work and the preseason, the conditioning and all that, to where when you come in first place in the league, that goes to show you were the best over a 2-month span. And that's almost more challenging than getting hot for a few games in the tournament setting of Las Vegas. While the stakes are higher in Las Vegas, I think from the player's standpoint, winning the marathon is something to be said for that being the more satisfying feeling.
Well, the NFL Combine is underway. Former Bronco Leighton Vander Esch had his measurements taken day A. He came in at 6'4 and 2'8 at his height and 256 pounds. That, according to Charles Robinson of Yahoo on Twitter. Cedric Wilson, who's been at the combine for a few days, will start his testing today with the bench press. He'll have his on-field testing tomorrow. Van Der Esch will have bench press tomorrow and then on-field testing Sunday.
I think both of them are going to do well. I think Van Der Esch has got a chance to put himself in the first round with what people see from him, and hoping maybe that Wilson gets taken by round three.
Speaking have you seen some of the... Okay.
Go ahead, Chris.
Have you guys seen some of the Saquon Barkley numbers that he's putting up, the running back from Penn State? Like, apparently he's killing it. Now, like, it's hard for me to have all the perspective in the world, but like the NFL Research tweeted out, he put up a bench press that was stronger than Joe Thomas. Apparently he was quicker in the 10-yard split than DeSean Jackson. He's faster in the 40 than Devin Hester, and he jumps higher than Julio Jones.
I think he's trying to move himself up into the top, what, two? Maybe one?
Yeah, I think he might. If you're the Browns, do you take them one? And
hey, well, here's the thing.
I think at four.
I think it comes down to how many teams you think are going to take a quarterback in the top four. You've got the fourth pick, so basically in the top two. If you think that you like two guys pretty much the same, like if you rate Darnold and Allen, you know, okay, I don't really care. They're both good. We'd be satisfied with either one of them. Then I think you take somebody like Barkley. But if you've got one of your quarterbacks rated considerably better than another, I think you've got to take the quarterback, even though Barkley looks awful good.
It's funny how the Browns have a nightmare example for every position. Like, they could take a quarterback and it could turn out to be like Johnny Manziel when they took a quarterback early. They could take a running back and it would be like Trent Richardson. They take a receiver, it'd be like when they took Braylon Edwards. Like, there's like a comp for every failed position that you could pick with the Browns, except for like Joe Thomas has stood around as an offensive lineman forever. They drafted him early. But like every other position, you could be like, oh, well, it could be like when the Browns took that position in 2004 when it didn't turn out the way they wanted to.
Speaking of the NFL Combine, one of the best things that comes from it is all the ridiculous questions. And speaking of the Browns, it appears that they, again, asked the weirdest questions. It came out yesterday that, according to Alabama running back Bo Scarborough, the Browns asked him if he thought God was an Auburn fan.
And would they have asked an Auburn player and reversed it, do you think? Just...
You would hope, but I mean, clearly based on the on-field the results, I don't think God's an Auburn fan. Just with the number of wins Alabama has.
I don't know what would be the right answer to that question if you're a running back. Like,
I would look at him and say, what do you want?
I think the answer is God hopes both of our teams stay healthy. Right? Like, that's probably the only way to answer. How else would you answer that question?
Scarborough said he answered it, no, I don't believe he is, which is probably the right answer.
Yeah.
And then one other thing from the NFL Combine, it seems that Bill Polian is not the only person who believes that former Heisman winner Lamar Jackson cannot be an NFL quarterback. According to Peter Strager of Good Morning Football, multiple teams have asked Jackson to test at the Combine as a wide receiver.
Why? I don't understand it. Because... everything that you can say about Lamar Jackson, you could say about Josh Allen of all the negatives. Right. But nobody's asking Josh Allen to go out here and do receiver drills, even though they have similar strengths, too. They're both mobile. They both can run. They both maybe at times are more productive with their legs than their arm. But we're not telling Josh Allen to go out here and try to be a receiver.
Well, okay. So what do they think that Jackson is? He's got some size, right? They like that? You think, as far as a receiver? They think he runs pretty well, right?
Yeah.
Do they know that he has any hands?
No. He never caught a pass at Louisville.
You know, he could be Nick Foles or he could be Tom Brady, right? I mean, you know.
Exactly. But that's the whole thing. Maybe you need all quarterbacks to work out because that was the difference in the Super Bowl.
Right.
One quarterback could catch the ball, one couldn't. So maybe you need these guys to see if they can catch.
So I don't know. You never know what's happening. Join the ticket in Vegas at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino for the Mountain West Basketball Tournament. Idle Sports Talk will be live on Wednesday through Friday of next week from noon to 5 Pacific, and it'll take place at the Goose Island Pub, which is a top 20 Vegas sports bar. You can book your room at ktik.com for a special package rate and attend Idaho Sports Talk Thursday at 4 to win a 3-day, 2-night stay. King Berrios and Bow Investment Group will present Caves Prater and Chris and I, and Domino's will deliver us to the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Vegas next Wednesday through Friday. When we come back, women's basketball going for a Mountain West regular season championship tonight. Details with Coach Presnell when we return on Idaho Sports Talk with Bob and Chris on Sports Radio, The Ticket. You'll want to join Chris tonight at 6:30. Boise State women's basketball over on AM 1350. The Ticket going for the Mountain West regular season championship, taking on Wyoming, one of the three teams tied for first right now, Boise State, Wyoming, and UNLV. And joining us with Chris now in Laramie is head coach Gordy Presnell. And Gordy, first of all, congratulations. You guys have won six in a row and really done a heck of a job in the second half of the Mountain West season to put yourself in this position.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. The players have bonded and played hard down the stretch of the season, and it's been a good last 6 weeks.
Now, my question is, why this team? And I say that because last year's team was expected to make that run, right? You had the senior year of Brooke Palico, the senior year of Jai Rodriguez, and those two have gone through quite a bit. Now, when most teams miss perhaps their top two ball handlers from the previous season, they're not really expected to contend. Although this team was a preseason number one in the Mountain West, and with a win today, you guys can reach that goal.
I'm excited for our players. I'm excited to see how we do tonight. I know there's a lot of adversity going into this game, and Wyoming is going to be very, very well prepared. They're very well coached, and I know there's going to be a great crowd. And we got to practice yesterday, and there was a big sign up, beat Boise State, and so that kind of fired our kids up a little bit. So it'll be an interesting game, and we did lose a lot last year, and then losing Ryan Kavandershaft really hurt, and then the two kids that didn't make it through the NCAA and admissions, they're here now, will play next year. So I'm really proud of our team. I'm proud of their resiliency and their perseverance, and then their ability to let people use their strengths. And one of those is Riley Looper, that's for sure.
Well, it would seem kind of appropriate if you guys win this thing and win it on the road to get your seventh win. You guys are 8-2 on the road. That's an unbelievable road record in college basketball.
Yeah, I don't know why that is. You know, we've always taken such pride in trying to perform at Taco Bell Arena, and we had such a rough pre-Christmas schedule with the home games and didn't pull things out down the stretch. But everyone's kind of built together and on the road kind of have this one heartbeat deal and go into games against all the odds, and they've bonded that way and performed at a little higher level.
Now, you've been on this show, and we're joined by Coach Gordy Presnell, Boise State women's basketball, and you've talked about Riley Looper for quite a bit. And we all know at this point how good of a shooter she is. Now, her first game against Wyoming might have been her lowest game in terms of point total in Mountain West play. So how, and you said this is a challenge throughout the year, but like some of the ways that you can get her some shots so she can, in a way, be able to carry the team in this road game against Wyoming.
Yeah, Wyoming is going to face Garter, and then they're going to switch everything. And so we've got to create some penetration, whether it's post-entry or our guards penetrating, to try to create some help and get her some shots that way. The X and O, you know, special plays, we'll try those, but they'll switch all those. And everyone's scouted at this time of the year. And so a lot of times people kind of go to their motion offense, their passing game, and try to get shots for her. She's got to improve in some areas, too, in terms of, you know, changing speeds when she's coming off a screen and doing those things, because she's so closely guarded. It's just been a magical year in conference play. She's over 50 from two, over 50 from three, and has only missed one free throw all conference season, which is really pretty spectacular.
52, 50, and 97 are the percentages. That's insane.
I'll be really disappointed if she is an MVP, you know, and we'll see what happens. I'm sure tonight would help.
Gordy Presnell joining us. Boise State women's basketball, three-way tie for first place, beat Wyoming tonight. Guarantee a part of the Mountain West Championship, also would get the number one seed. Coach, is there a different feel coming into the final regular season game with the championship on the line as, say, the last couple times you guys were in the Mountain West tournament and you were in the final for that?
Definitely. And, you know, being here and they're going for their first championship too, and they've been in the Mountain West a long time, and the little buzz they have in their community here, I know it's a big deal, and hopefully it will prepare us. Hopefully it doesn't bruise us if things don't go our way, but I'm very positive and very confident in our players that we are going to compete our tails off tonight and hopefully bring home a championship.
You mentioned the road record. Now, not every one of those 10 Mountain West road games have been in front of a hostile crowd, and Laramie, they can get pretty nuts. How does the team, or how are they able to weather those type of storms? Because that's not something that only will be useful in this game. But you mentioned, come conference tournament time, you could face also a heavy New Mexico crowd that can come on and try to swing a game.
We try to address that. It's a great question. Try to address it today in practice. And, you know, there's some Navy SEALs that have some stuff out that, you know, when adversity hits, you say good. And so we went through all the different adversities that could hit today. And, you know, replied with good. And so, you know, their best player is going to play tonight, and that's good. And it's senior night for them, and that's good. And it's going to be a hostile crowd, and there's 7,220 feet written everywhere around here, and that's all good. And so we've tried to address some of that with we're going to turn a negative or adversity into a positive.
Well, talking about turning a negative into a positive, when we were doing the coaches show earlier in the year, Gordy, you talked about closing. You guys weren't real good at closing. Lately, you guys have been Mariano Rivera at closing, coming up with save and save and save and save. So what's been the difference in the fourth quarter? Because you guys have dominated there of late.
You know, that's a great question. And sometimes it just kind of comes back around and leans your way. But you can get a little hump game every now and then, some confidence, and get a win or two on the road. And winning at Colorado State at the end to start off the season in conference season was really, really a good thing, because we had lost four going into that game with double-digit leads in the last few minutes of ball game. So winning at a place that I think we're the only ones that won the year before there was really, really helpful to the total team confidence, and I think that's kind of carried over. And then obviously, you know, the development of Riley and Marta and some of our other players, Brady, has helped with that too.
Coach Gordy Presnell joining us. Boise State women's basketball playing a de facto Mountain West regular season championship game later today, 6:30. You can hear it on 1350 AM, The Ticket. And Bob mentioned a question about the preparation for this game and how it compares to winning or preparing for a tournament championship game. But how about the result if it were to go in favor of the Broncos? How would winning a regular season championship compare to the tournament titles that the team has won two of the last 3 years?
I think it's a really important, and I think it would be a really a tribute to our players, the character that they have, and once again, the resiliency that they have. You know, losing Mariaka, who is our only all-conference returnee and really one of the premier post players in our league, it changed everything in terms of what we do offensively and defensively, and now we are kind of a 1-4 high team, and Shanti Coleman's development's really helped, and Shea Shaw, and but they've been playing out on the elbow area and running back doors and that kind of thing, and so it's helped me as a coach. I've never not had a real traditional point guard and traditional post player, and now we have kind of five people playing three positions, and it's really I'm really proud of them. No matter what happens tonight, I'm proud of them. We didn't back into this thing. We're 13-4 and 23-4 in our last 27 Mountain West games. So we'll see what happens tonight, and we're certainly going to give it our very best effort.
Coach, is there one thing tonight that you think you guys have to do to beat them?
Oh, absolutely. I told them, you know, we don't have to play our best to win, but we have to play the toughest physically and emotionally that we've ever played. And that battle is, you know, elevation and crowd and senior night and their first championship and all those factors. Without a question, we have to be tough. And if we're not tough, then it's going to be a long night.
Gordy, good luck being tough tonight. Good luck in getting the regular season championship. Let's get both ends. Let's get the championship tonight and then again next week as well.
Thank you for having me.
And that's Gordy Presnell. And Chris, you guys have had a lot of fun this season. 6 wins in a row. This team looks like they are just peaking at the right time.
Yeah, it's certainly been a fun ride, and there's been the challenges along the way, as Coach mentioned. It's not like the non-conference was as smooth as it's been in some previous years. But, I mean, it's becoming a characteristic, right? Mm-hmm. Last year they won the final, I think it was 7 regular season games. They won the 3 in the tournament, and then you know, they started winning the first 2 conference games this year, so they had a pretty good conference winning streak. But closing season strong, if you do it 2 years in a row, that starts to become an identity of the players on the team and the coach. So if you can finish off with 7 straight and back-to-back years, that'd be about as impressive as any streak in this league.
I was going to say, that's basically half the season. What is it? They play, 18 games?
Yeah.
18 conference games. I mean, 7's not quite to 9, but it's darn close. So, again, great job. We'll see if they can get it done tonight. Up next, we will be coming back for what we've learned. We'll find out what we learned about Chandler Hutchison, as well as what we learned from Coach Gordy Presnell about tonight's championship game for women's basketball. That's next when we return on Idaho Sports Talk on Sports Radio The Ticket.
It's time to find out what we learned on Idaho Sports Talk with Bob and Chris. And don't forget, at tournament time, get the best of both. Listen to March Madness all day on 1350 AM and your favorite talk shows right here on 93.1 FM Sports Radio The Ticket. What we learned brought to you by Pro Am Sports, your full-service pro shop and bowling specialist, high-quality bowling balls, bags, and accessories located right inside West East Garden Lanes in Garden City. Well, today we got to start. It's been dubbed Chandler Hutchison Day here on Sports Radio Ticket. His senior day, of course, tomorrow at Taco Bell Arena against Wyoming. We got to talk to Chandler earlier today, and this day almost didn't happen, of course. Last year, Chandler decided he wanted to test the NBA waters. He ended up coming back, so we asked Chandler, when you decided to test the NBA waters, what were you looking for? Do you think it was a success that you came back to Boise State for your senior season?
Well, the main thing that I, you know, just wanted to work on was to just continue to work on my shooting, continuing to get stronger, improving my skill, just working on different things and, you know, refining a bunch of skills. And, at the time, the whole time, my perspective from, you know, testing the waters was to see where I could be a year from that time. That was always in the back of my mind. And so it was too tempting to want to come back to see the improvement that I could make in another jump than to want to, you know, cut that short and focus on the next level.
And one of the things that Chandler is going to get out of coming back, besides all the improvement, besides the notoriety from the NBA, moving himself up into the first round, he will get his degree in communication in May. So congratulations to Chandler on all fronts.
All right. So that is a great thing about Chandler, being able to, you know, come back and make sure you take care of the academics and now also put himself in a better NBA position. I do want to bring up the point, because I know on our Twitter page, KTIK931FM, we had a poll, who is the best basketball player in Boise State history? And the choices, Bergeson, someone from the 80s, Hutchison, and Beard were the four choices. Now, also I saw on the Facebook, KTIK Facebook page, where Jeff Caves has his Facebook live video that he does before every show to kind of preview it. And I haven't seen the video, but I've seen the title. It's Hutch is the GOAT, greatest of all time. See, like, this is where I start to wonder, what are you basing that off of? If you pick Chandler Hutchison in that poll, and I'm sure that I know Sports Talk will talk about this with Caves and Prater from 3 to 6 all show long. What are you basing it off of, calling him the best player of all time, when, again, even within the last few years in the Coach Leon Rice era, I have a really hard time making the case that he's had a better career than Drimmick. I have a hard time making the case that he had a better season this year, and it was a great year, than Derek Marks had the year he was Conference Player of the Year and put Boise State as the regular season conference champ. Like, so what exactly are you basing best player in Boise State history on?
Maybe they're talking about best player of what the potential is. I mean, if that's the case, Then you're discussing him with Chris Childs. Because Chris Childs, if you're going to take into what they did in the pros, he's really the only one that had a very long career in the NBA. So the post-Boise State, I think there's no question that Childs has the best career after the Broncos, right?
Correct. So if you're going to call him the best player in Boise State history, or even put him at the front of the discussion, you're really going to have to sell me on that in a way that I'm not thinking of right now. Like, I don't know what metric or what you could be using, because he's like 500 points short of a lot of players. And this season, like, 500 is basically a season. And he's about 500 points shy of a couple of other Bronco legendary basketball players. So you're just going to have to go, well, I just think he's a better athlete than those guys. But, yeah, I guess you can make that case, I suppose. Again, you're trying to base a lot of that off of his NBA future, which, again, you don't know what he's going to do in the NBA right now.
Okay, here's where maybe you might be able to take this. If you're looking at a career, I think you've got to give Derek Marks the nod as far as career goes, because at least to the people that I've seen in the 10 years I've been here, because he was a mainstay all 4 years. Chandler Hutchison didn't play a whole lot, played a little bit as a freshman, was a role player as a sophomore, and then was a mainstay both as a junior and a senior. But if you look at it and say when you finished your Boise State career, if we're just looking at sheer player at that time, let's rate him based on what we see like today as the season and your career comes to a close. I can see where people would say Chandler Hutchison under that definition.
Yeah, but again, that's also projecting NBA yes. way. Because, again, I would say Derek Marks is, when, by the time he was done that last year, dude was a 45% right. three-point shooter and was averaging 19 a game and led Boise State not only to the Mountain West regular season title, but they received that year an at-large bid for the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. So, like, are you going to tell me that the moment that Marks was done, he wasn't near the player the moment Chandler is done?
Yeah.
So, again, that's where I am at it, and I don't want to make it seem like I'm ripping Chandler Hutchison by any stretch. I just want to keep the perspective of the conversation and say we don't even have to go back that long to the 80s or something like that. We could just have the Coach Leon Rice discussion of mm-hmm. players that played with Coach Rice.
Nice problem to have, right, that we're discussing quite a few good players in the Coach Rice era.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, Chandler Hutchison won't be the only one with a big game this weekend for Boise State basketball. The women will play tonight. You can hear that game over on 1350 KTIK starting at 6:30. Chris Lewis will be on the call. The women are in Wyoming. A win will get them a regular season Mountain West title, at least a share, depending on what happens in UNLV. And the number one seed in the Mountain West tournament would be their first regular season title in 10 years and their first in the Mountain West. We had Gordy Presnell, the coach of the women's coach, on today, and we asked him, how does the shot at winning a regular season title compare to the feeling of having winning two conference titles in the conference tournament, which they've done over the last few years?
I think it's really important, and I think it would be a really tribute to our players, the character that they have, and once again, the resiliency that they have. You know, losing Mariaka, who is our only all-conference returnee and really one of the premier post players in our league, it changed everything in terms of what we do offensively and defensively. And now we are kind of a 1-4 high team. And Shanti Coleman's development's really helped, and Shea Shaw. And, but they've been playing out on the elbow area and running back doors and that kind of thing. And so it's helped me as a coach. I've never not had a real traditional point guard and traditional post player. And now we have kind of five people playing three positions.
And again, tonight, championship on the line, 6:30. Jeff Caves coming in studio. He and Mike Prater will continue the Chandler Hutchison talk and Chandler Hutchison discussion. Jeff, what else do you have besides Chandler? And I guess you're going to nominate him for GOAT?
Yeah, and I don't know. I'm somewhat of an evolution theorist that he's played against the best competition. Mm-hmm. I like the way he can manage his own shots and set play or no set play, his creation, his athleticism. And I don't think he's not LeBron out there in terms of his physique, and he doesn't have that much of a physical advantage. So he's made a lot of what he has. Also, Yo Murphy's going to join us at 4:45. He's a former Vandal great wide receiver. He's at the NFL Combine, long career in the NFL, and has his own performance training business in Tampa, Florida. So he'll give us the insight on Zed Wilson. So we'll do that too.
Looking forward to that. Jeff, when you've watched Chandler from this year to last year, this is a fun guy to watch. This is a guy that I think has helped put Boise State basketball over the top with a lot of people.
Yeah, I think that it got certainly the excitement of the community, and the attendance speaks for itself. Mm-hmm. And we don't always see the people who listen to the broadcasts or watched it online or watched it on television. So that all adds up, though. That's quite a big amount of people that were excited about him. And hopefully they'll get a chance to keep watching him into March and mm-hmm. well beyond that with his NBA career.
Jeff, thanks so much for stopping by. Matter of minutes, Caves and Prater, again, continuing the Chandler Hutchison discussion as Boise State men's basketball finishes the regular season tomorrow afternoon at 5. Abe Jackson and I'll have the call begin at 4:30. Chris, have a good call tonight. Good luck on bringing home a regular season championship.
Thanks. Playing for a ring. That's always fun. Broadcasting for a ring.
Chris and I will be back Monday at 1. Caves and Prater coming up next. They'll take you home 306 right here on Sports Radio The Ticket.
Sports Radio 93.1 FM and 1350 AM The Ticket.